My dearly beloved in Christ, when I was 14 years old, my parents began to attend a Byzantine Mass instead of the Mass in our normal parish church because the Novus Ordo had come in. That was in 1969. And so our family went to this Mass in the Byzantine Church for a couple of years. And what I remember about it is that the church was very small, the Mass was in Greek, and every Mass was a sung Mass. The people had a prayer book or missal from the pews that had the chants like we would have the Gloria, the Kyrie. Every Mass was a high Mass. But not only that, every Mass was sung by all the people. There was a small choir in the choir loft to kind of lead the chanting, but all of the people joined in. And I thought that was very beautiful. And in fact, I would like to speak about singing, because you've heard the saying before, St. Augustine said this, singing is praying twice. If you sing a hymn, you chant in the church, you're praying twice. There's an added value to that chanting. And this is something that the popes have spoken about, especially in the 20th century. In fact, in your hymn book, I wonder how many of you have ever read it, in the hymn book on pages 20 and 21, there are some of these quotes that I'm going to give you from the popes on congregational singing, the idea of the people joining in. And this has always been a problem in the United States, where the faithful are reluctant to join in on the singing, despite what the popes have said. In fact, I have an interesting book by a man who was a convert, and he gives different reasons why in the United States, it's not that way in other countries, but the United States is very difficult to get the people to join in congregational singing from their pews. And he addresses a couple reasons why that may be. It's kind of cultural or historical reasons for the faith in our country. At any rate, listen to what the popes have said. This is Pope Pius XI, an apostolic constitution, Divini Cultus in 1928. History tells us how in the ancient basilicas where bishop, clergy, and people alternately sang the divine praises, the liturgical chant played no small part in converting many barbarians to Christianity and civilization. At Milan, St. Ambrose was accused by the heretics of attracting the crowds by means of liturgical chants. It was due to these that St. Augustine made up his mind to become a Christian. Concerning sacred music, the Pope, same Pope goes on to say, wherever the regulations on this subject have been carefully observed, a new life has been given to this delightful art, and the spirit of religion has prospered. The faithful have gained a deeper understanding of the sacred liturgy and have taken part with greater zest in the ceremonies of the Mass, in the singing of the psalms, and the public prayers. And one last quote of Pius XI, in order that the faithful may more actively participate in divine worship, let them be made once more to sing the Gregorian chant, so far as it belongs to them to take part in it. It is most important that when the faithful assist at the sacred ceremonies, or when pious sodalities take part with the clergy in a procession, they should not be merely detached and silent spectators, but filled with a deep sense of the beauty of the liturgy, they should sing alternately with the clergy or the choir as it is prescribed. Now moving on to Pope Pius XII. This is his encyclical on the liturgy, Mediator Dei, published in 1947. We exhort you, venerable brethren, he's addressing the bishops, to promote with care congregational singing and to see to its accurate execution with all due dignity, since it easily stirs up and arouses the faith and piety of large gatherings of the faithful. Let the full harmonious singing of our people rise to heaven like the bursting of a thunderous sea, and let them testify by the melody of their song to the unity of their hearts and minds as becomes brothers and children of the same Father. And I was thinking, as he talks about a thunderous sea, one of the things we've tried to do with our school children is to use the hymn board and to put the hymns on the hymn board and encourage the children to sing out. And it really is beautiful for me when I'm up here offering Mass and I hear all the little children joining in with the seminarians singing the hymns during Mass. And it is my hope that by doing this with the school children in school Masses, that as they become adults, they won't be afraid to sing out in the church. You know that when we have high Masses, and typically on a typical schedule, the 9 o'clock Mass on Sunday is a high Mass on the first and third Sunday of the month. But we pass out the cards that have the Masses. And as you hear them, and we use a small number of Masses, alternating them. So as you hear them enough, you become familiar with them. You could use the card and join in with the choir, singing them in the choir loft, singing from your pews. And that's what the Pope means by congregational singing. Now, at least we do this where we have a closing hymn every day that is announced so that the people can turn to that number in their hymn book and join in on the closing hymn at least. I want to give you a few more quotes from Pope Pius XII, and this is an encyclical on sacred music, Musice Sacrae, of 1955. The power of sacred music increases the honor given to God by the Church in union with Christ, its head. Sacred music, likewise, helps to increase the fruits which the faithful, moved by the sacred harmonies, derive from the Holy Liturgy. These fruits, as daily experience and many ancient and modern literary sources show, manifest themselves in a life and conduct worthy of a Christian. St. Augustine, speaking of chants characterized by beautiful voice and most apt melody, says, "I feel that our souls are moved to the ardor of piety by the sacred words more piously and powerfully when these words are sung than when they are not sung, and that all the affections of our soul in their variety have modes of their own in song and chant, by which they are stirred up by an indescribable and secret sympathy." And then later on, one more quote from Pope Pius XII in this encyclical on sacred music. "As we have written above, such hymns," now he's speaking about religious hymns, because it's not permitted in a high Mass during the context of the Mass, like the offertory or communion, to have hymns in English, in the vernacular. But hymns in the vernacular are beautiful. In fact, when I was in Vietnam recently, I encouraged the people to sing their own hymns, which they did in Vietnamese for the offertory or the closing hymn of Mass. And it was really beautiful to hear that. But again, hymns in the vernacular can be sung at a low Mass, not a high Mass. And the Pope says this, "As we have written above, such hymns in the vernacular cannot be used in solemn high Masses without the express permission of the Holy See. Nevertheless, at Masses that are not sung solemnly, these hymns can be a powerful aid in keeping the faithful from attending the Holy Sacrifice like dumb and idle spectators. They can help to make the faithful accompany the sacred services both mentally and vocally, and to join their own piety to the prayers of the priest." So I don't normally quote that much, but just to give you an idea of what the popes have said and the desire of the church that the faithful, and I know some people don't sing, don't have a singing voice, but if you do, to not be hesitant to join in from your places with the choir singing the hymns, especially at the conclusion of Mass. Now, we're not having singing this morning. We're just getting back into the school year. But our seminarians typically sing at the 9 o'clock Mass, whether it's a high Mass or a low Mass. And those who would like to join them are welcome to do so, but to be present for the warm-up before Mass. We also have those who attend the 7 o'clock Mass oftentimes sing hymns at the 7 o'clock Mass. And again, the faithful in the pews are welcome to join in. Now, I did announce this morning at the 7 o'clock Mass that I'm starting a new policy regarding the choir loft, that it is not to be treated like an extension of the cry room. So I'm limiting the children in the choir loft to 12 years old and above, and that policy will begin next Sunday. An exception would be infant in arms, if you have a parent that's singing in the choir and holding a small infant. But otherwise, perhaps one parent can be in the choir and one can be down in the church with the other children. But unless an exception is made, children below the age of 12 should not be in the choir loft. So let us appreciate the beauty of the Catholic chants, the high masses, the hymns that we sing in English or in Latin, and not be hesitant to join in, because thereby we are praising God twice. Again, singing is praying twice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.